latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor is almost earthquaking. Look what we're making. History out on the floor and it's just awaking. So get that needle in the core. Scratch that back and give me more. You know exactly what I came here for. Back it up and do it again. From the middle to the top to the end.
We're back at the races. Day one of Saratoga, coming to you from the new 1863 Club. Can't wait for Steve Haskin to get here. And Steve and Joan, certainly, and the whole family, actually. It's another big summer at the spa for Team Haskin. Good morning.
Good morning. I apologize to all the people that are expecting Tony Black.
Tony, we'll get Tony later in the show. Deja was having trouble raising Tony, and I figured if I got you on 5-10 minutes early, that would be good because Dave Grenning will be here at 11. So I figured we can get all the always fun Haskin Saratoga feelings. this is your one of your absolute favorites.
It's no fun when Saratoga's running and I'm in New Jersey. That's not fun.
Well, you've been coming more and more regularly,
yes, I have. This year is going to be some changes, but I am looking forward to this year in particular. We've got some changes coming up. I will actually be there, Steve. Yeah, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
I'll be here for 10 straight days.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
So, all I can say is that, Avi and Rotor must be getting lonely already.
Well, and there's explain what's going on with the family, too, because you've got not just the normal pleasantries that that you enjoy up here, but... No, that's just. Go ahead. That's just Johnny.
Are you speechless?
No, I thought maybe you're waiting to hear what was going on, but it's just the 10:30 announcement, the Imbrial announcement.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the first thing is that I haven't really told anybody this yet, but it looks like. It looks like my daughter and her family will be moving shortly to Connecticut.
Oh, that's tremendous. Tremendous.
Yeah, and in fact, what we have, they still haven't signed the contracts yet, but they both got jobs. Wes got a job at Central Connecticut.
I knew you were going to say Central Connecticut State College. Absolutely.
Yes, he got a job there. Let me tell you, the school where Michael Blowen took his favorite courses of all time, his summer courses. And Mandy got a job as assistant director of fundraising for Wesleyan. So she went from Nebraska Wesleyan to the big one, to Wesleyan.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's tremendous.
So they're going to be looking in
Middletown.
Yeah, and they'll be going straight from Saratoga. I would imagine we'd maybe drive with follow them. They have to settle down and find things. So yeah, things are very, very hectic right now. They still haven't signed contracts yet, but they were offered the job and accepted. So. So that's a little bit of news out there, and that's going to be strategically absolutely wonderful because they'll be less than an hour and a half from my sister-in-law in Vermont and less than an hour and a half from my brother-in-law in Boston, and they'll be close to Avi and Rhoda anytime they want to stop in and see Jose and visit with him. They're a three-hour train ride. You know, we can just hop on a train and go to wherever, West Hartford or something like that, or close by, and if we don't want to drive. So that would be a bit more convenient than living in Nebraska. So we're looking forward to that. And Mandy and Thea will be at Saratoga for the 2nd to the 5th. So that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to that. And we'll actually be up there starting on the 26th. I'll be up there for the Jim Dandy and for sure be up there for the Hall of Fame. Can't miss my girl getting into the Hall of Fame.
No. In fact, it came up. I had Brian Bouye yesterday, and wait till you see the book that he and Michael Veach put together for the track.
I heard you. I heard you talking. It sounded
like it weighed
20 pounds.
It's unbelievable. In fact, I went yesterday. I came late yesterday afternoon to test the line and the broadcast spot where I am, and all of a sudden it was Tina went downtown to get a hat, and all of a sudden I realized, you know what? It's 10 to 6. Let me go over to the museum and get a book. So I got the book, but Michael Veach wasn't there yet. So Brian signed it, and then they kept it there, and Tina and I went for a bite to eat and came back, and Veach had a chance to sign it. So I've got it myself, and I know some people that heard the show and heard Brian either on TV with me and Seth on Sunday or yesterday on the radio, and they went over. There was a big crowd. He had a terrific crowd of people there, and he said, wow, the online sales have taken off. You're going to love this. You know what it's like? It reminds me of it's kind of a combination of the old Derby Media Guide, you know, the page-by-page, year-by-year feature with mm-hmm. the chart and all that stuff and the connections. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of that and Champions, because then there's written overviews, you know, that Michael and Brian featured. And you're going to love it. And for those that... Okay.
Are you talking about the past performance Champions or the
yes.
old David Robinson Champions?
No, the DRF Champions,
past performances, the racing
right.
book.
Right,
yeah,
and,
okay.
but also they've got, you know, at the beginning of each decade, there's that written, you know, history of the decade that introduces each set of PPs for the 10-year period. Anybody that likes the Travers or has got a Travers horse that is a favorite, they're going to love it. It's $65, the book, by the way.
Is it better than Kramer's book on coffee tables?
The actual coffee table book. This thing could be a table by itself if somebody made a.
Well, that's what it is. Remember, he put little legs on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they should do. Now, the thing is, a lot of people go to Saratoga by plane, and it'd be very difficult to take that book back with them, I would imagine. You know, I mean, it was good. It cost them $100 and an extra weight. It's hard to believe, by the way, that people used to actually carry luggage.
Yeah, listen.
It is really hard to believe. But no, I mean, they couldn't find two better people to do that book. You know how I met Mike Veach, by the way? And I've known Mike since 1985. And how I got to know him is that, to show you how times have changed, where now they've got, you know, I remember the Blood Horse had every single employee working on this, and now I don't know what they do now because it's not a book anymore. But when the Breeders' Cup used to put out the bio books, and they would have bios on every horse, every owner, every trainer, every breeder, and they have bios on every one of them. Mike Veach was assigned to do the entire Breeders' Cup card in 1985.
Wow.
So he called me, and we wound up doing it together. So we actually, we probably did a little bit more, but we almost, you know, we virtually split it. So the two of us put out the entire 1985 bio book. And let me tell you, that's not an easy project at all. I mean, that's a lot of research to go to all these owners and breeders that you never heard of, and you got to find things and write, you know, substantial amount on them. So
there was no internet.
It was strictly the book. I mean, you know, now I guess they put it on the internet. How you find it? I don't know where it is, but I mean, how it works, I don't know. But at some point, like the Blood Horse took over, and they had every single person at the Blood Horse working on it. So we did it just the two of us in 1985. I'll never forget that. And we were on the phone constantly, and we got to know each other really well. And it was great. It's funny. The last time we were in Saratoga, you know, we did that the historic house tour. And next thing you know, we're in Mike Veach's house. We look in and say, "Whoa!" I said, "Boy, you know, Mike lives right around here." And we walk in the house, and we look in and said, "Wow, this is." And all of a sudden, I see pictures of horses trained by Sil Veach, you know, and all the Veaches up there. And we look in, yeah, because we had been to Mike's house visiting like years ago when Mandy was a baby and his youngest son. Michael was a baby, And not baby, but I mean, they were like three or four or something. And it was, we walk in and said, wow, this is Mike's house. So he took a picture in there, and I sent it to Mike. I said, you know, we're thinking of moving to Saratoga. This place is for sale. What do you think? I took a picture in his living room. But, that was pretty wild, being back in Mike's
house. That's funny.
The historic tour. So everything with Mike is history. You know, he's written books, you know, historical books and everything. And it's funny that his house is now a historical place. So that was... that was a lot of fun.
Well, he's a treasure. And,
oh God, yeah, he's the greatest. You know, listen, all his kids grew up. I mean, I think they run the entire city of Saratoga police force, and yeah. But Mike's great. Hey, listen, he's one of the few people left in the press box. He tells me there's nobody up there anymore. I mean, all the beat writers are gone. And you know, and the thing is now with Tim Layden leaving Sports Illustrated, you know, it's down to a dwindling few. I mean, you've got, you know, the Racing Form reporters, and who else is left? You know, Tim Wilkin, I guess, is up there, but I mean, there's nobody left up there. I mean, there's no more newspapers. What you have are the websites. You know, you got Horse Racing Nation, you know, with Jonathan Kitten, who does a great job with that. But, I mean, that's what you have, Thoroughbred Insider and things like that. And there's no more newspapers. There's no more beat writers.
Right.
So, I mean, everything has changed. It used to be, I remember you'd go up to the Saratoga press box, and it was mobbed up there. You go up there, and every seat was taken, and... You know, Eddie Fontaine was up there with the Post sitting next to Steve Crist. And, all the characters were up there. Gene Stevens was up there every day. But there's nobody that's a part of racing that is gone, the beat writer. There's nobody covering the sport anymore for an actual newspaper.
I've never gone up to the press box.
Never?
No, not once.
How is that possible?
I have no reason to go. I have no real interest. I in fact, at a certain point, it became a point of pride that I'd never been. I don't know why. I know, it's strange.
It just shows you how unpopular the press box is now that you've never been up there.
No,
but I mean, like, yeah, it used to be great up there. You go up there and pick. I used to go up there and pick up all the past performances from the horses nominated. You know, so you'd have all the past performances that would come out like a week or two before the big races, and I'd pick up all those past performances and all the newsletters were up there, and it was. It was great. It was cramped, but it was a press box.
Yeah. Maybe I'll poke my head. Maybe I'll poke my head up there. Let me go see.
Well, you know what? What you got to do? You know, it's right there with the main staircase.
Uh-huh.
When you come up to the boxes, you walk up that wooden stairs.
I know.
Stick your head in, take a look, and leave. There's always a guy at the bottom of the steps, by the way, you know, checking for credentials.
Yeah,
but you can get in anywhere at Saratoga.
Well, I
your face is your credentials.
No, but I'm bumped. That's very kind. I'm sort of part of the furniture. after 20 years really of being on the track. In one capacity.
Well, you are Saratoga now. I mean, not only for the New York purposes, but you live right there.
That's true. It's 20 years.
You're a neighbor.
Yeah, it's been 20 years, actually. It's exactly 20. I moved in May of 99 from Montreal down here. It's pretty amazing. A life-changing decision, Steve.
I would say so. you know, long time since the early days when you had 50 people in your derby trails, and I was one of your first, one of your early members.
I saw the address. I said sehaskin@aol.com, and I said, "Wow, this looks like this has got to be Steve Haskin." And I sent you an email. That was it.
Yeah.
Here we are. It's a little less than 20 years.
And that just catapulted your entire career.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're Steve Haskin adjacent, that's all it takes.
To write well, your career. I'm listening. You should go back. You should write your memoirs. I remember New York
memoirs
when I got you to write a news story, and I think it was on a Ken Ramsey horse or something.
It was Roses in May.
Was it Roses in May? It was a Ken Ramsey horse that.
Yeah.
There was something coming up with the horse, and I said, well, why don't you just write it? Because you had come up with all this information, and I contacted the editors, and I said, look, you know, let this guy just write it himself. And I think, I think they were looking for like 100-word news story. And I think you wrote about 3,000 words.
And Dale was one of the first people, that I got to know. And maybe half a dozen, six or eight pieces for Blood Horse early on. And
yeah, I remember that. And then I remember the guest. I remember the first time you were on JJ's show, we got this new guy. He's got a website, derbytrails.com, and next thing you know, you just took over.
I stuck it out. Let's put it that way. I dug my heels in. Let's say that.
I remember Wayne used to say, "Oh, I got to get this person as a guest. We'll see if he can come on. Can you come on our show?" Now everybody's calling you. He said, "No, I got to be on Steve's big show. I mean, that's the place to that's the place to be." I remember the early days when nobody knew who you were. I remember one time when you got into a little thing with Bill Mott. Now, do you remember that?
I do. I'm constantly in a jackpot with Bill.
I smoothed that one over. I remember I went over to Bill and I said, Bill, this guy's really, really good. He's going to be in. I said, I was just talking to get the two of you back together again. And he said, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And, he's been on your show, right? So,
yeah. Well, I asked him a question that I shouldn't have probably, and he got annoyed. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
It's been known to happen.
You were a rookie.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You feel, you learn your way, and that's part of the experience. It's a game of... In every capacity, it's a game of accrued knowledge. You just keep layering on experience, and whether you're doing this or whatever your specific area that you like. We talk about this all the time, and there's so many different avenues to enter the game. Whether it's on the handicapping side, whether it's the pedigree side, and people latch on and come to enjoy it, and that's. That's what it's about.
Well, I knew you were going to make it when you really started taking over, and it was during the 2006 before the 2006 Derby, and you were like riding like 22 hours a day. You would come out to the backstretch, and that's what it was Sweet Northern Saint. I think it was your favorite. And we got close to Mike Trombetta. And I remember that whole Triple Crown. And I said, why are you writing so much? I mean, you say, I got to go back. I got to go make my picks. I got to go write my column. I got to go write this. I got to do this. I got to do that. And at the time, you were just starting out. I said, there's not that many readers. I mean, you're working your tail off. But that's you. Yeah, look where it got you.
I had no, you know, you talk about that. I didn't have a laptop computer at the time, and I would go to the I'd go to the airport. I'd go over to Standiford and go to the business center and pay to use a computer. That's and
oh really?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's how I loaded those stories that year. I went over every, and you know they were open. They were open 24 hours basically, so I could go there at, you know, after hours or whatever, early morning. It didn't. That's how I posted about, you know, about that whole week leading in. So.
And now you're an institution.
I guess.
Now, like, you know, people say, "Oh, I heard you on Steve Bick. I heard you on Steve Bick."
No, stop. You know. That's enough about me. Let's get a couple of Saratoga thoughts in. And by the way, I want to, you know, you mentioned Avi and Rhoda and a very difficult day for them yesterday. For those of you that have been fans of Linda Rice and familiar with Avi, whether you know who, you know, Avi Friedberg and Rhoda are, you hear their names referenced via Steve a lot too, and their partners in Our Horses. They lost Avi's destiny yesterday after virtually a year-long battle.
How many times we went with them last year to visit, and this year. So we were up there in February, we were up there in May, all through last year visiting her, and she knew them. That was her parents. You know, as soon as they came and they heard their, she heard their voice, she knew that, you know. There was bags and bags of treats and carrots, and she did not want them to leave. I mean, she would just munch away on everything. And listen, that was their first big horse, and so part of the family. And yeah, you know, things were encouraging for a while. It looked like everything was going to be okay. She seemed happy. She was, you know, seemed to be able to move around in her stall. Everything, you know, looked good. And then we just heard, you know, just recently, and it was going to be tough on them to have to wait a week knowing what was going to come, and then to go up there and start the meet off that way, so they knew that it was coming, and they just waited for them to come up to say goodbye to her. But, yeah, you know, she won so many races for them, and she was just, you know, such a game, consistent filly. So you know, it's tough. She, you know, she wasn't that old. She gave them some really, really good foals, and it's very tough. I really feel badly for them. And I got to know Avi's destiny so well, just going to visit her. You know, either at Bill Johnson's, you know, farm, or at the clinic in Saratoga, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, but she gave them a lot of joy.
Absolute. And you have to know when the time is right to, you know, to give up. No matter, you know,
I was really hoping that that at least Nicodemus, you know, would do something, especially, you know, in the John Nayrud. You know, and they had tough luck there too. He got vanned off, but he seems to be okay. But you know, they're running, you know, tests on him. I think it might be something in the shoulder. But so it's been, you know, it's tough. Listen, it's a tough game racing. Hopefully if Nicodemus comes back, he's a very talented horse. You know, talent wise, best horse that they've had. At least they got a great stakes win out of him in the Westchester, which was exciting.
Right.
But and I thought he ran a tremendous race in the True North. I mean, he was absolutely flying in that race. But you know, and then John Ayrud, when that other speed horse stumbled at the start and Promises Fulfilled went out there, that was it. That race
was
over.
Yeah, it was. Killybegg's captain came back and ran well. Yeah, he did.
You know,
speaking of which, Steve, and you know, because there's, you know, just getting started at Saratoga, but. Expand on some thoughts. We got about 10 minutes. Preservationist, that's a big breakthrough win, obviously, for him. And talk a little code of honor, too. Did you hear Shug, by the way, on Tuesday?
I heard part of it. Which part are you talking about?
All of it. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, he certainly. I mean, let's put it this way. I give him all the credit. Everything he said about that horse early in the year has come true. He said this is going to be a horse better in the year. And, you know, frankly, early in the year, he was kind of green. I wasn't that impressed with it. He wasn't one to found new youth. He looked like it was a horse that would pull himself up, and he couldn't keep a straight course in the stretch, and he just looked like he just had a lot of learning to do, and it looked like he was just a big gangly horse that was just doing nothing. Boy, I tell you, the Dwyer, man, did he look like a different horse. I said, wow, where did this horse, this new horse come from? He looked strong. Listen, he didn't beat the greatest field, but he visually looked great. He didn't look like the same horse. Much more professional, was striding out, was leveled off much better. I thought he looked absolutely fantastic in there. He's going to be a force to reckon with. I mean, watch out for him and the Travers, obviously. So, you know, we'll see if he, I think Shook wants to run him in both. He said he wants to run him in the Jim Dandy and the Travers. But, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see him develop. I thought he looked great. Now, who's the other horse you mentioned?
Preservationist.
Preservationist, yeah.
Jumping right in.
Another horse, by the way. I mean, we have no clue how good this horse is.
No.
You know, because he's had so few starts, he's had so many problems, so many long layoffs, and, you know, to have that few starts for a six-year-old. But the way he ran, the jumping up from a mile to the 16th, you know, against, you know, so-so competition, I mean, he really wasn't running against anything. And the way he came up, threw up on the inside there, boy, did he look strong. I mean, you know, listen, Catholic Boy, he was a little headstrong early. He didn't run the kind of race. He didn't want to be behind horses, and he went charging up to the lead. But for Preservation to be sitting right off of him on the inside and just come through and draw off, I could see, if he won by a length or so, but to draw off and beat a horse like Catholic Boy the way he did, we don't have a clue how good this horse might be. Well, no clue. I mean, he could be anything right now. I mean, he's got a tremendous record. And he's riding a winning streak. He's got the pedigree. So, who knows what we're dealing with here? He could be one of the top horses in the country.
Exactly. And you're not going to, you're going to get probably one more look at him before Breeders' Cup. But in Jimmy's hands, this is an interesting player.
Yeah, and I'm sure Jimmy, for all his owners, Centennial. Centennial is the farm that really stood by him. You know, when he lost all, you know, when he lost the Ned Evans horses, and he lost all his big clients, and all his major clients, and the one client that really stuck with him through those few lean years where he had to rebuild the stable.
Yep.
Was Centennial. You know, he had Corinthian for them. But he's had some horses, recently, Wicked Strong and, some really good horses. But this looks like he could be the best. He looks like a big, strong horse. He's got a big, beautiful stride to him. Very professional, the way he drew off in that race. I was very, very impressed with that horse. You know, there were a few horses coming up right now that... Everybody's talking about the older horses. Yeah, there's a few horses coming up. There's some new three-year-olds. I remember in my first Derby Dozen this year, I remember in Knocking on the Door, one of the first things I wrote, looking at Pletcher's horse to see coming up. And I said, point blank, I said, Pletcher's best three-year-old. It won't make the Derby. Now it's King for a Day, who I was very, very impressed with last year. And he just wasn't working. He was not on the work tab. And now he's shown up, and look what he's done. He could be a major force in the 3-year-olds. Don't count him out in any races. So,
well, we'll see him next week. Well, we got Haskell. Yeah. Haskell's coming up next week.
Yeah, and Pletcher in the Haskell. Pletcher's had good success in the Haskell. But we could be seeing a changing of the guard. I mean, I don't know who the old guard is, but I mean, we could see a lot of new faces coming up and start dominating the horses that you didn't know early in the year. I tell you, the biggest freak of all might be Guarana. I mean, what she did was unbelievable.
Hmm.
I mean, to go off a favorite, number one, against Serengeti, you know, Princess is one thing. Serengeti Empress. But, I mean, for her to go off the favorite and then just drill her the way she did in 133-2, coming off of one start, I mean, wow. I mean, she could be anything.
So oh, there's plenty.
Could see some
there's
interesting, you know, between her and Midnight Bisou, and who's getting really good right now, and she's really finding herself. So, you know, there's some good horses out there. Bricks and Mortar, it seems, you know, nobody seems to be able to beat him on the grass right now. But, I mean, it's, you know, like, yeah, look at a race like the Woodward. You know, Woodward, you know, get a rematch. You get Catholic Boy against Preservationist again in the Woodward.
That's the way it's shaped up. You know, you also talked about three-year-olds. We should note, I gave everybody the field. I know it's, you know, more or less a duck pin.
Oh, the Indiana, yeah.
No, not Indiana. No, I was going to talk about Game Winners coming back in Los Al.
Oh, Game Winners.
In
winning.
The Los Al Derby. And then you've got the, you know, you've also got Omaha Beach, who's starting back now and getting going.
Right. Let me tell you something. I was looking for something. There was a horse in the Derby. I forgot what race he was running in. I don't even remember who it was. But I went back and watched the Derby again, looking at his horse. I strongly suggest people go back and watch the Kentucky Derby and watch the race that Game Winner runs. Oh my God! I mean, you talk about a horrible trip. Oh. I remember, you know, when they turned for home, I said, wow, who the heck is that way out in the middle of the racetrack over there,
yeah,
you know, losing
exactly.
15 lengths? I said, whoa, well, that's a Game Winner. And he gets, you know, he's flying at the finish. He ran an amazing race in the Derby. He had no shot. Looked like he was going to finish way up the track, how much ground he lost in that race. I mean, there's a horse, by the way, that really could develop. You know, we'll see, it could be a very interesting second half of the year for the West between, you know, both those horses.
Agreed. Steve, let me pull up. I've got Dave Grenig joining us, and we'll look forward to getting you up here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And a big change this year, too, you know, because of logistics at Shea Freeburg, we will be coming up this year for the Travers instead of closing weekend.
Oh, nice. Nice. Excellent.
So, I haven't been up for the Travers in a while, so we're looking forward to being up there for the Travers.
As long as you haven't seen the Travers, it's a lot more recent than Evan Hammonds, who I talked to yesterday, and I asked Ev, are you coming up for Roundtable or maybe for the sales? And he said, no, actually. He goes, I'm coming up for Travers, first time in forever. I said, when was your last one? And he said, Cardenascra.
Hello. Wow, that is...
85,
I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
85, something like
that. I couldn't believe it. I, you know, but of course, for a long time, he would come for Roundtable Week and stuff.
No, he had to be 84 because Cardenasco was a four-year-old when Spendabuck beat him in nose. Remember when Spendabuck beat him in nose in the Island and broke the track record?
See, this is what you're good for those obscurities that
that nobody cares about.
Well, and it's funny because I hadn't been to Brielle. I didn't move to Brielle until 88, so I had not started coming to Monmouth on a regular basis. Not until I moved to the shore, that's a pretty good island.
Spend the buck. He may have gotten beat in the Haskell when he bled. When Skip Trial beat him, and so he ran him in the ran against older horses in the Island, and he won by a nose in 146-4. I think it's still a track record. I'm broken that track record.
Were you covering for the Bergen record at that time?
The Trentonian?
I was just starting around that time.
I've got Dave Grenig.
Dave, how are you?
Hey.
What year was it?
85.
No, I didn't start. My first Haskell was 91. Hansel was in it, and he got beat by the Lost Mountain, I think.
Lost Mountain was one of my favorite horses.
That was my first day on the job. Not that anyone cares, but first day on the job, July 22nd.
Lost Mountain won by race by a nose.
1991, July 22nd, first day at the Trentonian. I drive down to Monmouth Park. I walk into Frank Brothers' office. I say, "Hi, Mr. Brothers. My name's Dave Grenig. First day on the job. I know your horse won the Preakness. I know your horse won the Belmont, and that's all I know."
All I remember, Steve, is that in those days, I used to get to the track like in Belmont Park or so, and you know, I would like to get to the track by 5 o'clock, 5:30, you know, and get there and you know, talk to the trainers over there, and I'd get there, and sure enough, the only other reporter out there is Dave Grenig. I said, "God, the guy's working for the Trentonian. He's out here with fucking."
Where were you living, Dave, at that time?
Well, I was living at home. I had just moved back from the state of Maryland. That's where I went to school, but I was also working there, and I was living with my parents for a couple of years. And then when I moved to Princeton to get closer to these tracks that I was covering, then I got a job in New York.
So you had to. It's unbelievable. That's pretty funny. Because I knew that Dave was in the ballpark coverage wise and also jersey wise. So there's
a little tick before me that way.
There's the transition, Steve. We will talk next week, and can't wait to see you.
Yeah, take care. See you guys.
And congratulations about the kids coming to Connecticut. That's very cool.
Yeah, looking forward to that a lot. Well, Dave, I hope your mother's feeling better.
Thank you, God. Everyone, has that made the papers?
Well, it made the show, and I let everybody. And how is your mother?
Thank you. The big Gazette. I like that. Broken up, you know, broken, but not, you know, she's
bent, but not broken.
Well, she's got some broken bones, but she's all right. So she's it was a tough couple of days, but she's home. She's doing better, and each day will be a little bit better.
Was she driving?
She was driving. She, you know, she fell asleep at the wheel, and she
went
over to the wrong side of the track, the road, and ran. Luckily, there was not a car coming the other way, and she ran into a tree. And between the tree and the airbags, she bruised her sternum, or fractured her sternum, and a couple other little issues. But knock wood in the 1863 club. She seems to be on the mend. Thank you for asking.
Well, best wishes. What's your mother's first name?
Barbara.
There you go.
You can't really see it unless I point it out to you, but she's actually sitting in the front row on the calendar when American Pharoah galloped here before the Travers.
Really?
You see her blonde hair? I said that because I knew where she was sitting, and I said,
"Oh, that's hysterical.
That speck is my mom."
That's pretty funny. I've enjoyed, you know, in fact, Tina and I were talking about it yesterday. Tina has turned up in two different NYRA
calendars?
Advertising.
Okay.
Mother's Day. With Jake Romans' girlfriend, and they presented Tina and Jake's girlfriend as mother daughter, and then Tina turned up in advertising for the 4-star Dave, sitting with her friend Jen, it's funny, they just captured by, you know, roving photography, I'll provide the address to the marketing department if they want to send a residual
little stipend.
Exactly. Well, Dave, we are here in the 1863. This was offered to me. Pat McKenna said, "You want to broadcast from the club?" I said, "Sure, why not?" And how about this for a view?
This is nice. Obviously because of my mother's situation, I didn't make it for the little unveiling on Tuesday night. But this looks nice. And by the way, the view that I see right now is the tractors going around sealing the track, because the big topic today, as it was last year, could be the weather. We could be getting some thunderstorms. I actually ran into Glenn Kozak when I was walking up here from the parking lot, and he said, right around 1:30, which is when we get started, which is why all the MTOs most of the MTOs are still in there. I did see one of them scratched, I guess, Morgantown in race 6, but all the other ones are being held so far.
And I think hunting season came out of the 11th.
Oh, okay.
Those are the only two that I've got. Otherwise, oh, excuse me. I'm an idiot. I'm looking.
We don't have 11.
No, we don't have. I'm looking exactly. I'm looking at the wrong slate. The scratches are modest. That horse from Maryland came out of the sixth, fled the four, who was very interesting, actually. And I was going to certainly include, and both Dunth and Gladiator King, who have something in common. They're equine good humor trucks. They stop for anybody waving a quarter. It's the craziest. This Dunph has been, I'm telling you, has been in more entry boxes. I've never seen anything like it.
Interesting. Now, there is probably the key scratch of the day is the Schuylerville number 8, Aurelia Garland, who I just was texting with Wesley Ward.
What did he say?
Just diagnosed a foot ish, foot this morning, a foot bruise maybe. So she is out of that race. And I'm expecting him to enter Abyssinian, who's in this quick call. I'm expecting him to at least enter her in the Coronation Cup for Sunday, and then he's going to watch the weather. So he could go back in the Coronation Cup on Sunday, be entered.
Interesting.
Anyway. And then he's going to play. Wesley's going to make sure. I guess he wants to run on her on the turf, obviously. And for some reason, the storms come today. This gives him a backup for her.
Wow. All right. So, folks, be aware, because Abyssinian's certainly one of the players in the quick call. But if it stays on the turf, or depends on how soft it is.
Yeah, all he said was, I'm watching the weather. So I just think he's give himself the option to, because that race is going to, hopefully they close before the quick call goes out.
That's a good point. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, 6 o'clock, I would hope that that they close by then.
Right. So I guess, this is an option because obviously she's a filly in this race taking on the boys, whereas that race on Sunday she'd be taking on the girls, which will include, by the way, Break Even, who's undefeated on dirt, and then we'll try the turf for the first time in the Coronation Cup.
Well, that's an interesting move by Brad Cox. What did he?
Just said she's, he said, look at the first race. I always entered her for the grass and came off and she ran and she won. And they stayed on the dirt, but he said, I've always wanted to run her on the turf, and he thought that this was the
prep
Sunday's
for
race.
The test.
Well, he just said right now he's gonna run her in that spot and see how she does, and I guess the test is an option, but he's obviously got Covfefe for the test, which is not to say that he wouldn't run against the two against each other. He just wants to, he thought this was the good time to try the turf.
Wow, so interesting.
Even though the Jersey girl was the good time to good spacing from there to the test.
Right.
But now he's looking at maybe running Sunday, and then maybe he comes back in the test, and maybe he doesn't.
Well, and that happens at that ninth race, the quick call today. Is this the first year as grade three?
I believe so.
There's a lot of crossover, from main track to turf, and a horse like Sambaye, who was coming off the best race by all rights, of the career. And, it's been kind of a quirky 3-year-old season after a promising 2-year-old season. There's a bunch of horses, Call Paul, trying the turf. And, Call Paul's a horse we've talked about a lot on the show because of Gary Young's involvement. Gary picked it out for Mike Dubb. And, he's a horse that has just made this most tiny incremental improvement. I don't know if I talked to you about it. Probably not, probably Jim Dunleavy. Look at his PPs, Dave. It's the craziest thing. Until the most recent race, when he broke 90, have you ever seen a horse run 8 straight 80s buyers within about 4 points of each other? What, 83 to 86?
Yeah, he has 7, and maybe they changed the number for the Gold Fever because that shows in 91 now, but there's 7 numbers between 80 and 86 from the from when he began his career, beating Mind Control at Delaware to winning the Saratoga Special to eventually winning the Swale and third to Mind Control in the Bayshore. No, you're right. No, this is a very consistent horse, and all you have to, this Call Paul reminds you of World of Trouble when they went from dirt to turf, and he took off to another stratosphere.
Well, so, and right. I know people love to hate on Jason Service, but this happens to be, really a wheelhouse for him. His success with these turf sprinters, Vision Perfect, who may be coming to the end of his run.
Other Side of Midnight.
But this is something that he does really, really well. And Call Paul's been a funny, consistent player for him. I thought Electronic had a look in here for Linda Rice.
Yeah, I thought this was maybe a tick tough. This race came up maybe tougher than I think Linda would have liked to see it. But why not? Give it a look. She hasn't gone through all her New York bred conditions, but you can always go back to that New York bred second level condition. later on. But just going back to Sommelier, you know, he worked with one of his works, if not both of them, was with Social Paranoia on the turf at Belmont, and they were head-to-head, and, you know, obviously Social Paranoia ran a winning race.
Yeah.
You know, he ran second, but he ran a winning race in the Belmont Derby.
Any other thoughts on the Schuylerville before we talk some general Saratoga themes?
Let me take a look here. Schuylerville. I don't know what to make. I guess really it's a wild card. Well, the first thing that stands out to me, Steve, is that there are no Churchill Downs horses here, which is very strange to me. That usually get a Churchill Downs maiden breaker or something to run. There's like five other locations represented here, but no Churchill Downs. Obviously, the wild card is Shippy. She wins a race at Laurel on June 14th, is purchased privately, ships into Belmont, worked the other day at Belmont with Jose on, and it was, you know, solid enough work, but you just don't know what to make of this horse. You know, what it's sort of like, what's the horse that Cassie bought, the 3-year-old in, you know, earlier in the year, won by
from
like 16
Maryland
lengths, and then showed up in the Gotham or the Wood or something, and just Florida, you know, one of the
it's
races in Florida.
Sideways, yeah.
Yeah, and just it was you know, no good. So which way does this horse go? I just don't know. It looked like a solid enough race. You know, anytime you win by that much and run that fast and get a big number, I mean, it's a solid race. Coming back a little kind of quick, but and changing barns and change, went from Laurel to Elmont to Saratoga, has the rail. I mean, who could be dealing with a wet track? I mean, there's a lot going on here.
Speaking of which, I ended up gravitating, and this was kind of a last-minute decision. I ended up putting Kiss the Girl on top.
I agree. I like that horse.
The Marty McGee open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. It feels like a natural. And I think that, you know, there's a couple of, from a fig standpoint, there's a couple of horses that are not dirtied up per se. But what about the other O'Neill, Comical?
Yeah, that was a solid enough race. I mean, it's back a ways. And I'm always a little leery. This is just a personal feeling, personal deal here. 4.5 to 6 furlongs, first start to second start. I just always wonder if, you know, I know that they're going to run further as they get older and more so. I just, that jump from over a furlong is sometimes, it's just for me a little bit, you know, is it too much right now? Is it, you know, she's so speed oriented that, you know, she's going to show speed and then that last half a furlong just tire. I don't know. It's just a personal thing for me that, and I haven't done any research on it to see how many horses won the Schuylerville. They're going from 4.5 to 6, but to me, it's just more of a personal kind of deal. And going back to Kiss the Girl, you know, Todd Pletcher's, you know, won this race a bunch of times, six, I believe. So, and didn't win it. You know, maybe he did win last year. I can't remember, but I just think I like that horse's race, and I do think she finished as a horse that wants to go on.
Let's talk some general themes for the meet, Dave, including we'll do a 2-year-old because, of course, you get to jump the gun. Usually Jay gets to talk about his clip and save Del Mar 2-year-old column, but you get the jump this year because of the early our early first post. We'll talk about 2-year-olds, but since you mentioned a seeming slight absence of Kentucky connections, let's talk about, you know, some outside interests, and that does include some California players. And we, you know, I can't remember when did the last time Ben Cecil bring a horse to Saratoga?
Right, that's a good. I don't know. That's a fair point. Yeah. I guess, you know, you're sort of in that lull, and I don't know Del Mar's stakes schedule very well or well enough to know that was there potentially a better spot for that horse. Was there a spot for her, that horse out west that they would have liked to run in? Maybe they missed the race that they wanted to run in as well in California. So it is interesting. I mean, and O'Neill's not staying from what I understand. It's sort of like a ship in, you know, run these horses. And in fact, I think Pavel, who was third in the Jockey Club, already went back. And then these horses are supposed to go back after this race.
So it's not a
he does not have stalls here for the summer. He's just, you know, he looked at these races as good spots for these horses.
Interesting.
And, you know, that's why they're here. And obviously the Maryland horse is a good spot. It's not like the Maryland horse had a ship cross country. The Maryland horse has been on the East Coast. So this is I would assume that the previous trainer would have picked out this spot as well.
Well, Norm Cassie has got at least a handful of horses on hand.
I assume so, yes. I don't know.
He's here. He's over by Gary. He's over by the kitchen, by the track kitchen. Phil Bauer.
Yeah, I think he was here before. I think he had a few horses here before. And I know it's not concerned. Larry, I was talking to Larry Rivelli today. I'm doing a note for Sunday's paper just on the fact that, you know, the Sanford came up really light. And I have a number of horses that were looking at the Sanford that were didn't enter for various reasons, illness, infirmities. And so I will kind of flush that out a little bit. Just, you know, people are going to look at it and say, why did we only get five in the Sanford? Well, they were supposed to get about eight or nine. And Larry had one horse, and the name is Skip Viking. Something I get, William something. It escapes me right now. It's upstairs in my notes. That was supposed to run. That horse got sick, but he did say he's got some coming this way, including that horse maybe for the middle one. So that's why the Sanford kind of got a little, you know, was light. But the Kentucky contingent, like, if you look at the guys who are all said they weren't coming, or the perception was they weren't coming, they're here, just not in the numbers that they were before. And the two that stand out are Cassie and Maker. Cassie has 30. He's got the same barn that he's had for the last several years on the turn there. What he doesn't have is he didn't rent stalls at the harness track. So he doesn't have, like, the overflow horses. But he's got horses here. He's got horses, you know, he can ship in. I'm not saying he's going to have as many starters as he had in the last couple of years. I think they were in the upwards of 60 to 70 starters in the last few years. But he will be well represented, you know, represented enough here. War of Will is here. He's supposed to work this weekend. That work will determine whether he runs in the Jim Dandy or if he feels he needs a little bit more time.
And he would train up
the Travers. But based on what I was hearing about the second work back, which was on Sunday at Churchill, I don't know that he's going to need more time. I guess Mark will, you know, determine that when he works him here on the weekend. And Maker, I talked to Maker. Maker usually has 40 to 50. He's got 30 here, sort of doing the same thing. You know, just because they're not here doesn't mean they can't come here.
Right.
So he's got 30, and then if one's run, he could ship one back, and then from Kentucky, ship him here. So I don't think it's going to be as dire as, like, some of it has been made out to be. And I don't think Brian Lynch is here with as many numbers. I think he's got enough. He's only got enough to, like, be in an annex of Kimmel's barn. I think he's got a few stalls in Kimmel's barn. So, but he kind of backed out in the Belmont spring meet. He didn't have that many there either. So, yes, there's going to be some lighter. Brendan Walsh isn't coming at all because he just doesn't really have the stock. I mean, maybe Plouquet Parfait will come back in another race. He didn't run all that terrible, I guess, the other day. But just not enough to stay stable here.
Well, and you know, the other issue that I wouldn't call it an issue per se, but, you know, $50,000 maiden races at Ellis Park is highly respectable, and you can justify staying home. And, you know, you think about some of the guys that certainly Steve Margolis is a guy for years would come and would bring 18 or so, you know, have at least a 120 horse shed. And he hasn't come the last several years. Steve has got kind of an upswing again and has been reinvigorated, including with the Brilliant Racing group, Brandon Staubel and the partners. But, you know, there's ebb and flow with this. There always is. A couple of other names. I see Matt Shearer has got a Kentucky runner in that allowance tomorrow. Dream Zapper, the 3-1 second choice. And I don't know if he's got.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a New York bred, so I don't know if he just, you know, came in from. He trains at the training center at the Spectrum. So I'm going to ask. And this is a horse that Dennis Farkas owns, longtime Ian Wilkes client. As well, and of course, Neck and Neck just passed the other day.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, very sad. 10 years old. Let's talk about somebody that was supposed to be here with 16 horses. And I did. I had Dave O'Rourke earlier, and I asked Dave and the Hollendorfer story from your perspective.
Wow. Well, I know this is serious, but I need to make sure I clean up my language here. I think it's terrible that Naira elected not to give him his stalls, and I think it's terrible if Del Mar, you know, which sounds like it's going to follow suit. Just seems like what the Strana Group has done in banning him has effectively ended his career, at least for the time being. And I don't think that's right. When the guy had Songbird here, they were all fawning all over him. Bring your horse here. Bring your horse here. We love Songbird. You're the best. And then he had some unfortunate incidents that happened. The last one being state vet approved horse to work. So that's on Jerry. Because the state vet, what happened to the state vet? Still have a job or whatever? Maybe not a state vet, but the vet. Is that for, the vet still working? I'm going to guess yes. But she approved it. He or she approved that horse to work, and the horse got hurt. I don't know that that should all be on Jerry. I think it's unfair how he's being treated, and a little bit, you know, perturbed that, you know, Naira wouldn't at least come out and say why publicly. It's all, you know, I can tell you it's basically all public relations. They don't, you know, and it's not right. I just don't think it's right to, and believe me, there's a lot of people back there that are scared that Nick could be next. And, you know, so that hopefully, look, we're all hoping for a safe meet. But I didn't get it. Especially 6 days after they came out and said, they went out of their way to say, big press release, you know, we are honoring our commitment. And then 6 days later, dishonored it. And I just thought it was wrong. I thought it was the incorrect move. Yeah, you can put some things in place if you want to say, look, Jerry, we don't want your claimers here or whatever. Or just, you know, he was sending 2-year-olds. He was sending the Larry Best owned 2-year-olds and, you know, maybe a couple of other horses here. Those horses, he should be able to train those horses.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned the horse that that went wrong the Saturday of
American Currency, I think.
American Currency, and that under the protocols, and also the other horse was Cochise. That ran under all the new protocols that had been instituted by Stronach Group and by Santa Anita. So those two horses, I mean, if you want to beat him up about the first horse, the first horse back after opening and Battle of Midway, you know, you had one in December, Battle of Midway in February, and then the two at the end. I went and pulled up numbers that are remarkable. If you add up all his horses that worked and fold in, if they want to talk about the ones at Golden Gate, all the horses that worked since December 26th, when both of those venues opened, add up all the workouts and add up all the starters, his you know, factor rate, his incident rate, right, is basically 2 per 1,000, just like the rest of the industry. So part of this is just sheer volume, right, of Hollendorfer's operation. And Jay Pribman will join us tomorrow. Jay's piece, if you didn't see Jay's report, which is the accurate report of the troika of attempts to get it right, Jay has it right. And we'll get his specifics tomorrow. I've actually not, you know, I was on vacation last week, but before I went on vacation, I had Tom McGreevy speak on Jerry's behalf, and then Alan Foreman to explain the legalities involved.
Right.
For those that did not see on July 4th, it was timed specifically on July 4th. The THA and the HBPA spoke out on Jerry's behalf regarding due process. And somebody that's never been suspended in his entire career. I mean, there's guys walking around that have been out for months at a time. And guys that have had, you know, things somehow swept under the rug. But to treat him like this is reprehensible. And from what I understand regarding the reversal, from what I understand, Belinda Stronach harangued Churchill and Naira regarding supporting their initiatives, getting behind them, and don't leave us twisting in the wind. I mean, they've basically put the whole industry twisting in the wind. And at no point have taken any self-responsibility.
Right. That's the thing that's maddening from that standpoint, is everything they've done really has been in an attempt to deflect their culpability in everything that's happened in the first 7 months or 6 months of the year. And that's shameful.
100%. 100% agree. And, you know, the other story that I didn't have a chance this week so far to get to, the decision. I had Matt Hegarty on the Friday before we went on vacation to talk about the Breeders' Cup. One of the reasons for those that continue not to understand, oh, how could they run it at Santa Anita? Nobody else wanted it. any of the discussions that had been going on, basically Churchill said, you know what, we'll pass. We're not interested.
But I also think there was probably going to be lawsuits threatened by San Diego.
Oh, no doubt about it. There were. Moved it.
I think the closest venue that they the closest thing they might have come to doing was go to Keeneland and say, can we flip-flop? So in this way, you know, it might have been able to save them from lawsuits from Stronach Group and say, hey, we just would like to flip-flop it this year. And I think Keeneland was like, thanks, but no thanks. We'll be ready in 2019.
Well, based on the first 3 days here, and we certainly, you know, we got a long way to go. Yesterday's card actually took a while to come out. It didn't draw till 4 o'clock. But based on the variety of racing levels, it does feel like this is a good, you know, good opening few days of the
day. I thought today's card was, you know, hopefully this weather doesn't impact, you know, we don't get impacted by the weather, but I was very, you know, very impressed by field size and quality of the races and depth of the races, to be honest with you. I thought they were solid. Tomorrow I didn't look at that strongly yet, but you know, brief cursory glance was pretty good. And Saturday, you know, the stakes came up light numbers, like the Chad Brown Invitational. Is it Diana? But when is it not? I mean, you know, to run those three out there, Sister Charlie, Homerique, and Russian Fall, I mean, it's going to be interesting just to watch how those three perform. And the Sanford, like I said earlier, came up light, but for reasons that are, you know, more just unlucky than by design. Like, there are two-year-olds here, and they will run, and some of these horses that were supposed to run in that race just got sick or hurt.
Speaking of the 2-year-olds, let's get to your clip and save. you focused on some of the obvious barns, but you also did dig deep and find a few other 2-year-olds that are potentially going to be impactful as the summer unfolds.
I think a guy to watch is and he's no longer really a secret, but Georgie Abreu, Chad Brown's former assistant. He's got 2-year-olds. He's got about 25 of them, and I think he's going to be, I don't say a force, but I think he'll win a couple of races up here. And, you know, the couple of horses that he mentioned to me, it was a horse called Nettleton and Ghosting Kim. They're well-bred, and they were pricey purchases for a new client. I know he had one today, Ghost Zap'em, who I think is a 2-year-old who had a decent work today and I think is getting close to the races. Dermot Magner sent out that Fierce Lady. Now, you probably know this better than me than I do. I don't know what happened to that. Did they sell? Did he get it back? I don't know.
I know. I did.
Fierce Lady was sold, and it was supposed to go through the ring on Monday in the 2-year-old in the Horses of Racing Age sale. But I was busy with other things that I didn't get to follow up and see A, if she was sold, B, who bought her, and C, where she wound up. There's a chance that she didn't sell and could wind up right back in Dermot's barn. He had another horse that he had mentioned to me called Inverterate, who's by Palace Malice, and then Aziza by Cairo Prince that he's looking forward to getting started at the meet. And, you know, what's old is new again. Stanley Huff, as the trainer for Sagamore. Look, he was always dangerous with 2-year-olds, and I could see him having a couple of winners here. Polished Copper being one, and maybe Necker Island as a hard-spun colt is here. I'm interested to see, you know. I was up here a couple weeks ago. It was a Tuesday. I want to say June 22nd, 23rd, something like that. And it was a kind of a nasty day. It rained and whatnot. But Bill Mott sort of like took me around the barn, and we were looking at some
Shed Row Tour.
And you know, it was pretty interesting. He's got a half to Matoli. I think Lucky Dime is the name of the horse, and his first 2-year-old starter. I was at Churchill. Frank's Rocket won by like 8 1/4 length. So if that's any indication of what he's got, and he's got some Godolphin owned horses this year too. He's got like four horses that Godolphin gave him. Yeah. And he said, "Look, I trained for him before everybody else did." He said, "The wheel just came back around."
That's interesting. I don't remember him.
He trained for him when they were Darley.
I don't remember him with Darley horses.
He said I had him before anybody.
Interesting. Well, and, you know, another name we should include, because I had Dave Norton on. We had him on TV with Seth.
Yeah.
and Maya Engelhart.
Yep. No, not right now. No, he's got, he was supposed to be in here. Maybe he didn't, I'm trying to think if I got him in here or not. I thought I wrote about, he's got some horses. He's got an Uncle Mo 2.0. He's got this Risky Mischief. Don't give up on Cleon Jones just yet. I know he whiffed first time out at a short price at Belmont, but you know we don't have to label these horses good or bad after one start. So don't give up on that horse. I know they're pretty high on him, and I expect him to bounce back. And of course he's got the well named Good Shabbos.
and who knows what is lurking for Al Gold in the barn? There might be some more Odd Couple characters that he's come up with.
Or what was the one? The Frasier. I think there was a Frasier reference.
Al has more fun than anybody, and we can't wait. I haven't seen Al yet.
Unfortunately, Marianne and Ginger did get hurt, so she's sidelined for the summer.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, yeah, she won't show up here in Saratoga.
Oh, that's too bad. No, that is too bad. That looked like he was off to a big start. You know, I had Shug on Tuesday for an extended visit, half hour. He's got more two-year-olds than normal.
He's got a two-year-old New York bred by Honor Code. I said, you got with the program, huh?
They start with an advantage.
They do. I said, and if you're by Honor Code, you really start with an advantage because he's a good-looking individual.
Dave Grenig with us, and everything was terrific until this blaring audio. Dave, you know, obviously Travers and Whitney, you know, the biggest of the big days. Couple of thoughts.
There we go. There's Larry Colmus.
I was going to say at first they used a little Durkin. There was a Durkin tape earlier that, and there was an Imbrial
kicking you out of the grounds.
Yes,
an hour
that's my
before
favorite.
You can come back in.
Yeah, the classic. You know, pointing up toward the biggest highlights of the meet. Anything that you're tracking?
Well, you know, look, the Travers. Look, this 3-year-old division sort of kind of gone falling apart a little bit with Country House and. Sir Winston not going to make the summer races, but you could have, if things work out right, you could have the first meeting post Triple Crown of Maximum Security and War of Will in the Travers, and that would be, and then throw Tacitus in there, and if you know Baffert comes with Mucho Gusto, it could still be an interesting race, but the War of Will Maximum Security meeting could be interesting. First time since then would be neat. I guess I will tell you that Matoli is going to run in the Vanderbilt. I know there were some people thinking, you know, he was going to go in the Whitney. He's not going in the Whitney. He's going to run in the Vanderbilt. World of Trouble, who could have run in the Vanderbilt. That would have been a cool race, but he's going to go in the Troy. So he's going to stay grass. Matoli stays turf. I guess the one horse that we probably won't see up here that I was really looking for, that you just love to see, is Bricks and Mortar. He'll go to the Arlington Million. And
makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. But and look, it's going to be cool to see Sister Charlie back and running on Saturday. I keep thinking today's Friday. I might have referenced Saturday, like saying tomorrow a couple of times in this conversation. I'm not sure, but I'm thrown off by the Thursday opening. But you know, just to see her back to the races is going to be kind of cool. And then you know, I don't know that the 3-year-old filly division is deep. But, you know, Garano in the coaching club in a week or so kind of could be cool, and we'll see. I think the meet's going to be dominated by Chad again, obviously, just a matter of whether it's all stakes or if the 2-year-olds come out. I think he might be a little light early in the 2-year-old. You know, he does not come out running with his – he does not come out early with his 2-year-old. So my guess is, like, the second book is when you'll see his 2-year-old start to roll out here. But it'll be – you know. I'm trying to think what number. I think I said something wacky like 48 for him and wins this year at this meet. It's crazy, but it wouldn't surprise me if he
won. No, it seems very possible. And you know, forget that even the 2-year-olds. He's unveiling late season 3-year-olds,
right,
that are terrific. And you know, some of the ones that he and Seth that he bought for Seth at Newmarket or at
Tattersalls.
At Tattersalls, you know, they've all come out running. He's taken the time unveiling them. But you know, I want to ask him how many more unraced 3-year-olds are lurking.
Yeah, That's a good question that I don't have.
Because they keep coming. And then, you know, also finally, Dave, what's your thoughts? I'm excited about the 5-day.
I was going to get to this earlier. I got married 22 years ago today, Steve.
happy anniversary, everybody. You have to go back to your tweet. You have to not only wish Mrs. Grenig best wishes and a speedy recovery.
Mrs. Loudon.
You have to also congratulate Dave and
Beth.
I
got married on July 11th for a reason, because it wouldn't interfere with
Saratoga.
And 22 years later. It's interfering with Saratoga. Like I was telling people, I got more. My wife used to work at Garden State Park in Jersey, and she had a lot of friends who were more harness guys than thoroughbred guys. So the people they're at the wedding, they're like, I can't believe you got married on Meadowlands Pace Night.
But I'm bummed. Holy cow, Meadowlands Pace Night.
We got more grief for that than anything else. But it's like, I said, now I'm getting married on now my anniversary is on opening day. Look, the 5-day week, I'm sure, is good. Nobody races 6 days anymore. The 5-day week should help morale. It should help, quality of life. It'll be interesting to see the business. I would imagine it will help the business too.
I agree.
Everyone says, when we go back home, everyone's like, and it's empty at Belmont. People are like, yeah, we should have stayed at Saratoga another week. So, and the same is on the front side of Saratoga. It's, we should be in Saratoga now. Well, now here we are. And the handle on a Thursday at Saratoga will probably always be better than the handle on a Thursday at Belmont to a degree. And that'll get tested this meet. But I think based on the fact, there's three factors to me that are, and I think you got into this with Dave a little bit, that will help handle here. One is, look, they lost 50 turf races last year. I have a hard time believing that they'll lose 50 again. Two is opening up the pick five.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
That's the first time. It happened, I know, last week at Belmont, but those pools will be better. And three, at some point this meet, they're going to introduce the jackpot or Empire Six, which is the 20 set, Rainbow Six type of wager that it's popular. I mean, people. I know most of the people that who responded to it on Twitter, which is this, everything that's responded to on Twitter is in a negative fashion. It was a lot. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. But the people that don't necessarily respond on Twitter will bet it, and I'm sure the handle will be good on it. And whenever they get started, hopefully the Gaming Commission gives this final approval earlier than later, and they can start it and get a good month's bankroll built up or carryover built up. And then whenever they choose, whether it's closing day or it's closing Sunday or whatever, it'll be a big pool. And so those three factors I think will help business. And I do think the length of the meet to me is a little bit. I would have preferred, and I'll never go back. But 7 weeks, 36 days is the perfect to me is the more ideal meet. If you want to do 5 days a week, keep it at 7 weeks, 5 days a week, end on Labor Day, 36 days, boom, boom, there you go. But they're not going to give up 4 days of business up here. And look, from a business standpoint, I can't blame them.
Well, and of course, we don't know what's going to transpire, downstate. I did ask Dave, instead of starting with Saratoga, I actually started with all the news this week from Belmont, which is extensive. You wrote yesterday about the schedule that is going to move to Aqueduct early. And again, this is all involving the construction of Belmont Park Arena. And I suppose you're going to be switching over, right, from the Rangers to the Islanders?
God, no. I'll show up in more games because, to be honest with you, we're actually at Aqueduct during most of the hockey season, so it's
true.
But I have to kind of pass that to go home, so I might wind up going to a game or two more than I would have. But, yeah, we're going to be – so September 6th to October 6th, and then that Aqueduct starting October 11th till whenever. I don't think they've really honed in on when they're going to go back. My guess is we stay at Aqueduct at least through the Kentucky Derby, which is like a week longer than we've been there before. The belief that we're going to be at Aqueduct like for the next – forever, and there's no Belmont Stakes at Aqueduct – or Belmont is wrong. We're going to be at Belmont Park in the spring. It just may be a little bit of a shortened meet. And we might come up here, I don't know, Arbor Day? I don't know.
Exactly. I think they're calling that October session at Aqueduct, they're calling that the Don Pepe meet.
There you go. Nobody more excited than that.
Exactly. Nobody more.
He wanted to be there when we got back.
Well, and I asked Dave O'Rourke, I'll ask you, I'll ask all the local visitors, dining preference up here, what's your favorite pushes?
You know what? I don't really know. I don't really have an all-time favorite. I'm hoping that Mamma Mia's is going to be good because I'm living basically right there.
Are you really? You're right over
my house is over there. Actually, my whole living, in addition to my mother getting that accident, my whole housing situation went kerflooey early yesterday, and by the end of the day, I had a new residence. So. It's been an interesting first couple of days to the beach that hasn't started yet.
You had the house pulled off from under you, or what?
Kind of.
Holy cow. That's not the way. You don't want to start the meet. You're off to a little bit of a rocky start.
It's got no place to go but up.
Well, Dave, great way to start the season, and best of luck, and we'll check in as the summer unfolds.
You know where to find me.
Dave Groening, everybody. Always tremendous. Let's take our last break. We'll come back. Tony Black to close things out from opening day at Saratoga. And the latest of the latest of the latest forecast is looking a little bit brighter. It looks like these early storms may miss us. So, as I said, you're going to have to dance to the tune that they play. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
Carry the four, plus this, I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapper Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapper tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer.
Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in the state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from EchoBase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You say you stand by your man. Tell me something I don't understand. You said you love me, that's a fact. And then you left me, said you felt trapped. Well, some things you can't explain away. But the heartaches in me feel this day. And stand by me.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes to noon. A fun 40 or so with Dave Groening, 45 with Dave Groening. Gets us in good stead to roll into the meet. And I mentioned, about an hour ago, that Tony Black will be making a Saratoga trip. Some years he threatens to come up. This year he's coming up because he's going to be part of the Hall of Fame induction ceremony of My Juliet. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. You wouldn't believe where I'm at. I just am going to my mother's. She's 94 years old, and she's officially retiring, and they're giving her a retirement luncheon at a Greek restaurant, Estia's Taverna Restaurant.
Nice. I love it. Well, and, you know, my father only retired at the age of 90 about a month ago.
Aren't they tough examples to follow? Well, they make it tough for us. I guess that means we got to make it to 90.
I'm ready to retire Labor Day. I'll stay in for this meet. But if I had a way to retire, I would.
I'll tell you one thing. You're lucky you're up there. That's a beautiful place to be. Anything to do with racing up there is beautiful. And I'm going to be up there August 1st or 2nd. Well, the 2nd for sure, because Brian Bouillet said I could be part of the people accepting the Hall of Fame award for the great My Juliet. Because, listen, Steve, I'm one of the last ones left that was connected with her. So they got me to come up there. So I'll be seeing you probably August the 2nd. Because I'm sure you'll be at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Well, you know, it's tough for me because it's in the morning. And I'm going to have to figure out a way that, because I want to be there for this. I do want to be there when it happens, and for you as well. So I got to talk to Brian Bouillet and see what the plan is. I mean, typically it starts at about 10:30.
Yes, 10:30 it starts. That's what I've been given an itinerary of it. And then they have the ceremony, and I guess then they'll have races and whatever. And then they have a cocktail party that night after the races, I believe.
Yeah, it's an all day affair. I mean, there'll be a race. You'll present a trophy. There'll be a My Juliet race on the card. There'll be one for, you know, virtually everybody that is getting in. And there's a luncheon. I mean, it's a really nice day. They do a great job. And you're not going to believe, you know, you're going to see people, Tony, that you haven't seen in years. I mean, that's what you're going to love about it.
And you know what else? I thought to myself, this is one more time My Juliet is carrying me on her back for her accomplishments and all the things she's done. And she's carrying me one more time to an event like this, a Hall of Fame induction, that I probably would never be a part of if it wasn't for her. So she took a lot she carried me across the wire all those times in those major races that she won. She was the bionic filly. She was a supporter of the women's movement in the 70s because gender was not a problem with her. She didn't care if she was running against the boys or the girls. She was a true competitor. So I'm thinking, here's one more time she's carrying me on her back to an exciting experience.
You know, Tony, a couple of thoughts. We got about 10 minutes, and we'll obviously, as we get close to the Hall of Fame ceremony, we'll get you on. And in fact, depending on what day you come up, maybe we'll get you on all the platforms. We got the TV show on Sundays too. There's two different things that happened already. I've got a connection to one thing. We were going to use the bug boy tomorrow, Benji Hernandez, 7 pounds. And then we had the opportunity to enter back for Saturday. This is with our little filly, Minute Mouse. And she drew the 12 hole in a turf sprint, 5.5 furlongs. So they brought the race back a second day. They had a bunch of horses enter. So we had a chance to enter back, and we did draw better. We got the 6 hole, but Benji couldn't get out of his mount. And Chris Landeros is going to be riding here really for the first time on a regular basis. Of course, the son-in-law of Ian Wilkes and Tracy. We gave Chris Landeros the call, and Rich Migliori actually is booking Landeros' mounts. But, Tony, talk about a meet like this and being a bug boy and trying to get mounts, and also being a guy coming in from out of town, essentially, that is not a regular, in this case, New York rider, and fighting for mounts, because it's not easy.
No, it's a tough go. I mean, whenever somebody tells me they want to go to New York, I usually tell the younger kids, wait till the wintertime. Go to New York in the wintertime when a lot of the heavy heads go south, and it leaves a lot of doors open. You come to New York and Saratoga, everybody wants to be there. It's far from being even near an easy meet. It's a very tough meet. It's like if you were in California, you went to Del Mar. You know, it's a tough meet. It's not the ideal time to try to break in to a circuit. But if you do generate some business and you show some, good riding expertise and you break in there, when you go and leave there and they go to Aqueduct and Belmont, you'll have some clientele follow you. But if I was trying to go to New York and a young rider, it definitely wouldn't be the Saratoga meet. But you know what? Sometimes you got to jump into the deep water and see. You might make it. Tough way to do it, but there have been riders that have done it that way.
You know, one thing that seems to happen almost every summer, and it's interesting, and I, considering that we're using Chris on Saturday with Minute Mouse in the second, I'm hoping that Landeros is the guy, but there's been plenty of years where a bug boy just, tears off and gets a bunch of wins. Wilmer Garcia a few years ago. Then you'll also get an out-of-towner. Last year, Ricardo Santana, who was, would come to Saratoga the last few years, but was it last summer, I think, started winning right off the bat. And, being in tune with a guy that, somehow catches fire early, that's just a, I don't know if it's a phenomena or, what does it work when that happens? Because it does happen.
Oh, it does happen. You can't explain it sometimes. Sometimes you're just lucky to be in the right place at the right time with business, and someone miscalculates what their better business is, and you're picking up their seconds and third calls. And you know what? Sometimes you sit back and good things happen that you couldn't even calculate. You know, at times in the horse racing and business, you over-strategize what you're supposed to do, what's supposed to happen, and everything that happens is totally different than what you can expect to happen. You can be a kid, go up there, and just fall into the right spot. I went into track with no business and just an agent that was familiar with the people, that had some respect for the people. First year I went into Merlin. I left Garden State, just had lost the bug. Agent talked me into going to Laurel. Hadn't ridden in Merlin that much, just a little bit, part of a buoy meet. I went in there with nothing, not a trainer to ride for. I went in there it was the Hagerstown Laurel meet. Their days were run from Hagerstown at Laurel. It was a regular Laurel meet. Wound up leading rider. I went in there with nothing. I was 100-1 to be a leading rider there. I was the leading rider.
That's wild.
Yeah, and you would never have expected it. I left Garden State. I had lost the bug, in June I had lost the bug, and I wasn't raising any hell in Jersey. I went to Laurel Merlin with nothing, and I was leading rider the first meet I rode there, Laurel's Hagerstown meet, 1972 it was. And I still got a beautiful, and I laugh about it, because it was the mentality of the time. It's a beautiful cedar wood lined cigarette box, and it's a cigarette case, and it's engraved Laurel Hagerstown meet lean rider 1972, I guess it was, or three, whatever it was. And I thought, see how things can happen? You couldn't have calculated me being lean rider at a meet when I went in with nothing. And you know what? I fell into a spot. George Cusimano fell, broke his collarbone, and Buddy Delp started putting me on, some of the horses. Because one reason, I didn't have business and I was available. I got lucky.
Yeah, that's what it all took. That's all it took.
Yep. But we're here at this retirement benefit for my mom, 94 years old. Like I said, Steve, these parents of ours, they give us a tough act to follow.
Well, and as always, you are. Tony, enjoy it. Warm wishes to your mother. I hope she's not going to retire from the kitchen, right? Because she's a legend there.
Yeah, she makes the best pastito you'll ever eat. And any other cooking, she makes galata burrico, turopita, spanakopita. You name it, she makes it. And that they don't make it no better than her. But you take care, Steve. Keep up the good work, and thanks for the time.
Always great. We'll talk next week. Tony Black, everybody. And Tony takes us right near the top of the hour. And I can hear in the background Andy starting talking horses. So you're probably looking forward to watching a little bit of that. And I can't wait till Tony gets up here. That's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be very special. And you heard earlier today Steve Askin, too, was talking about it. Well, let's wrap up, and we'll give you some of the the final details that we've got. I can tell you that right now the sun just came back out, and the band of storms that allegedly were headed our way are diving south, and that happens here a lot. They, whatever the winds are that between the mountains and the river and who knows what else that influence it, but rain a lot of times will be arcing toward us and then dive down. So, sometimes it skids north up into the mountains. So right now we're okay, and I put the selections up. I do not have any multi-race wager selections for today, just because there was such uncertainty. If I can, if I can make any adjustments, I will. I got a little bit of time here before we got to vacate, and I know there's a nice reception today for all of the people. This was really nice that they would do this opening day, and of course the first day of actual use of this 1863 club, and a section of the second floor for all the workers that built the building. Really a nice gesture. I saw a few of them earlier, and I thought that was worth noting. If I had to, do you want to play today? All right, so let's assume that we already mentioned Kiss the Girl. Let's assume that things stay on the turf. How about I'll give you one horse that caught my eye late this morning when I was handicapping in the seventh. Andy talked about the Terra Nova horse intrigues me. Wish Upon, I'm a little interested in at a price. You got Giant Zinger and Classic Lady to deal with, and we get the monies. But I'm going to watch the board, and I'm a little interested in Wish Upon at a price. I think I may have mentioned that yesterday, right, with Seth? Did that horse come up with Seth? I don't remember. Who else today? Who else can again, if the grass stays together in the nightcap, going to Temple, Brian Lynch, who we ran into with his brothers in from Australia, and if they stay on the grass, if we're okay, going to Temple, 15-1 with Saez in the nightcap. I put that filly on top. So there's a 15-1. Why not? We're getting underway here, and it should be a great meet. I wish everybody the best of luck. Whatever you do to take part, if you're a player, I hope it's your best meet ever. For connections, trainers, and owners, and backstretch teams, and everybody, hope it's a great meet for you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll stay home tomorrow because there's plenty of action from around the country to handicap, and Marcus Hirsch and Jay Privman and much more. So good luck today, everybody. HRRN, 3 o'clock, though, here on the network. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.